grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. Well, welcome to the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of our church calendar. This marks the beginning of our waiting, our anticipation of the coming, of the advent of Christ as infant and also as Redeemer. And as we come to the Sunday after Thanksgiving, our refrigerators are full of leftovers. Our hearts are filled with love from visiting friends and family. Yet today, we hear from our gospel in Luke, Jesus again addressing his disciples and their anticipation of a groaning creation. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." I wonder what someone might think if they entered the church or a church for the first time today. I wonder what they might think if this was the first gospel reading they heard. Signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Distress among nations. Roaring seas. Fainting, fearing, foreboding. Powers of the heavens will be shaken. Would they think, "I got out of bed for this? Is this what people wish to hear as they worship God?" Maybe you don't have to be a first-time churchgoer to have that thought. You, faithful church attenders, you might be thinking right now, "Why do I keep going and coming back to church? My life might have been just a little bit better if I would have stayed home." Or for you who are watching online right now, maybe your life would have been a little bit better if you just not turned on your device. You know, instead, you could have just slept in, heated up some of those leftovers, or made a nice breakfast, brunch, settled in for a little afternoon football. Colts are playing the Buccaneers at 1 o'clock. What good are readings such as this? Really, Jesus, if we wanted to hear about fainting, fearing, and foreboding, all we have to do is go step out into the world. When the present reality includes wars and political uproar, distress among nations, climate catastrophe, signs in the sun, moon, and the stars, global pandemic, breathless from fear and foreboding, unemployment, hate crimes, racist ideologies, death-dealing illnesses, new variant, Omicron. Oh my gosh, it sounds like the newest villain in Transformers. Displacement by terror or anything else that traps people in fear or despair. Truly, it's enough for us to remain under our covers and wait, secluded and in distress. Why do we get out of bed? To this day, I repeatedly get excited for Christmas morning. Big Christmas mornings were always our tradition as I was growing up. Full of presents and family and breakfast. Oh, breakfast of homemade cinnamon rolls and Swedish tea ring. It's a pastry from an old family recipe handed down from God. Oh, it tastes that heavenly. Christmas is the one day I always want to get out of bed. But I remember one Christmas as a child where I did not want to get out of bed. My dad worked at NIPSCO for most of his adult life. And one year, I believe it was 1979, the union which Dad belonged to decided to go on strike. They were on strike for 11 months. You know, as a child, I didn't know what our family financials were, but I do remember Dad working more hours at the church cemetery as a side job that year, at least that summer. And I remember more canning than usual from our garden, and also that summer and into the fall. That year, the one toy that I asked for, okay, I probably asked for a lot of other toys, but the one toy I genuinely ached for was something called the Big Track. It was the toy most 10-year-olds wanted. On the keypad, you could program it and move it forward, and then turn, and then back it up, and then fire its laser. Okay, it was a light, but it had a trailer, and you could program it to dump it. This thing could do it all. And without a wire or a remote control, you just simply programmed it in and let it go. I still remember the dream I had that year on Christmas Eve. A dream of coming down the steps, gazing at a tree that normally crested on a bounty of gifts. But this dream, there stood a lowly Charlie Brown tree, a lifeless branch, vacant of any gifts, nothing in our stockings. That year, that Christmas morning, as my 10-year-old self, I did not want to get out of bed. As the youngest, I was the one waking everybody else up. I was full of anticipation, eager to see what transpired overnight. But that year, I pulled the covers over my head, and I didn't want to get out of bed. Eventually, my siblings got me up. And that dream was just a dream. I was amazed at the gifts, and I was truly astonished as I unwrapped the box that held my most wished for toy, the Big Tracks. My head raised up and I found my parents and I screamed with joy. Now, I'm not sure how much the uncertainty of a 10-year-old boy compares to the catastrophe or of fainting fear and foreboding experienced by our society in the current culture. And lately, I'm just like the rest of you. There have been times when I struggle to get out of bed. Yet when things seem to be at their darkest, that's when we need to hang on to the words of Jesus speaking to his followers. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is why we get out of bed and come to church or turn on our devices to gather in community, to gather around Scripture. We get out of bed so that we remember that the future, no matter how dismal, belongs to God. In the darkness, we need to raise our heads because our Redeemer is drawing near. As we heard in the reading from Jeremiah, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." The promise of God is real and it is unbreakable. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 20, it reads, "Thus says the Lord, if any of you could break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night would not come at their appointed time, only then could my covenant with my servant David be broken, so that he would not have a son to reign on his throne." God's promise, God's covenant with us through the life-giving branch of David, who is Jesus Christ, is as strong as the covenant God made in the promise of creation, in creating day and night, coming at their appointed time. daylight savings time notwithstanding. But just as we cannot stop the day turning into night, just as we cannot stop the darkness turning into light, Jesus is our Lord and our righteousness. Turning back to Jeremiah verse 16, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is how we get out of bed in the morning. This is why we turn on our devices for church. This is the hope we live into as we gather at church and dawn a new church year. God holds our future, and we are called to be with one another, just as Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. Day and night, we pray most earnestly that we get to see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. We are church together, to borrow the motto from the ELCA. We gather in our homes, we gather at our church, in the community of friends and loved ones, people we agree with, and some we don't. Still, we gather together, hoping to restore what is lacking in each other's faith. We rest in the unbreakable promise of God, and we wait with great anticipation for the coming of our Savior. Now, the church has been waiting for over 2,000 years. And we still don't know when Jesus will come again. But this is why we begin each church calendar year with Advent, to acknowledge God's love and promise in Christ Jesus. And we wait together. Not that we can save each other, that's already been done. But we wait together because of the fainting and the fearing and the foreboding. At times, it's too much to endure. We cannot do it alone. We're not made to do it alone. It's up to us to be prepared, to be on our guard, so that our hearts do not get weighed down with the worries of this life. We wait together so that we remember to lift each other up in the great love and promise of life to the full, which happens now as well as for eternal life. When our lives are at their darkest, we know deep within us new life is promised. Just as trees begin to sprout leaves, we know that summer is already near. We are reminded by the tree of life in our sanctuary that God's love springs eternal. The tomb is darkest when the stone is rolled, closing off the daylight. But we also know, through sharing God's word, that Sunday is coming. 3 days later, we know what happened. Is in you. God has a purpose for you, and the our ways to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Creator at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen.